Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. That's why when it comes to hard work, nothing works harder than a Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Check out a new Silverado at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
It's the freaking weekend, baby. I'm about to have me some fun.
Yeah, it is. Bounce. Friday the 13th. Be careful out there. It is 11 minutes after 8 o'clock on a chilly morning. That heated seat feels good, doesn't it? Dean's got the entertainment news. How you doing, Dean?
Yeah, very well. This whole year has been Friday the 13th.
It hasn't, though.
So far. So.
I know. What's the update on Al Roker?
Al Roker is home after having his prostate surgery. He is doing well. Back home, thanked all the doctors, thanked everybody for all of the care that he had for his surgery last week. He's posted pictures of himself in the hospital, but he says, you know, the good news is that we caught the prostate cancer early. So, you know, right now the surgery's over. He is resting at home.
Good to hear that. Let's talk about, and everybody seems to be talking about this, Jeopardy, and there are all kinds of lists, who's going to be the next host. They're not even dealing with this at the network yet, are they?
The show is not dealing with it at all, and it seems creepy to me. Alex Trebek hasn't even gone a week yet, you know, and already people are falling all over each other trying to put themselves into consideration as the new host of Jeopardy. Names that are out there right now are Ken Jennings, who was the Jeopardy champion, the guy from, I think he was from Naperville, who did very well on the show. His name is out there. I don't know that he's, you know, campaigning for it. George Stephanopoulos, I think, kind of flippantly said that he would love to do that. Alex Trebek himself once said that he would like to see Betty White take over the show. She's 98 years old, so I'm going to say that that probably is not going to happen. But one of the names that has come up is a very interesting choice. And of all the names that I've heard so far, this one maybe makes the most sense. And it is actor LeVar Burton.
Really?
Who gave us, in addition to, you know, being on Star Trek The Next Generation and Roots and so many other television and movie projects, was the host for 21 seasons of The Reading Rainbow, and is, you know, if anybody sort of has that Jeopardy sort of academic kind of vibe, it would be him. He hasn't said anything about it, but fans have started a change.org petition to put his name into consideration. And so far, 15,000 people have signed the petition for LeVar Burton to be the next host of Jeopardy. I like that choice, but I also, you know, would like there to be a respectful, you know, amount of time before they, you know, start hurrying to try to find somebody. I suspect that the producers already have, you know, a small list of people that they're interested in. They've known that Alex Trebek has been sick for quite some time. So I think it's going to be a while until they make an announcement.
And those final Jeopardy shows that Alex Trebek taped are on, what is it, Christmas week?
Christmas Day will be the very final episode that he did. But, yeah, the final ones that he did only 2 weeks ago will be on the air on Christmas week.
The Friends reunion is back on, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I'd sort of forgotten about it. It was one of the early casualties of the, you know, the pandemic, of all of the things that have gotten delayed since then. The Friends reunion was one of the first and the most often postponed. And now apparently it's back on again. Yesterday on Twitter, Matthew Perry wrote, "Friends reunion being rescheduled for the beginning of March. Looks like we have a busy year coming up." And he says, "That's the way I like it." So this unscripted special that'll bring together all of the actors from the TV show Friends, looks like they're going to shoot it on the exact same stage where they shot the original series. It's scheduled to be on HBO Max. So unless something comes up again, I mean, I, you know, what I've been saying during the pandemic, you hear me say that something's being rescheduled for a certain date, you can pretty much bet that it's going to be rescheduled again a couple, two, three times from whatever it is that I tell you. So right now they're saying spring 2021 for this Friends reunion.
Rescheduled. Dean's got some Super Bowl entertainment news.
Yeah, we're 3 months away from the Super Bowl already. But yesterday they did make the announcement of who will be the halftime entertainment headliner, and it is this guy. The Weeknd, he has one of the biggest albums of the year. He has more than 45 platinum singles and albums over the last decade. He was named one of the most influential performers of 2020 by Time Magazine, and now will take the exalted role of Super Bowl halftime show entertainer, following in the steps of Prince and the Rolling Stones and Beyonce, and the list goes on and on. Up With People. Let's not forget Up With People. they were one of the greats. Carol Channing did the Super Bowl halftime show 1 year. Al Hurt. He joins all the greats this February in Tampa Bay. So I think that's going to be a good show. He's a fantastic performer.
Had a lot of hits. All right, the Weekend picks now. We finished The Queen's Gambit last night. Fantastic. So now what do we watch?
Now you're ready for The Crown then. That will debut on Sunday. I was trying to get a confirmation. You asked yesterday, does it start premiering right at the stroke of midnight on Sunday? Or do you have to wait at a certain time? And I was unable to get an answer.
See, nobody knows.
Even Netflix. I can't really say that they didn't know. They did not respond to maybe what they consider to be a silly question.
But yeah.
I suspect that that's probably the case.
All right, we'll be checking.
The season four of The Crown takes off on Sunday. It's the 1970s. It focuses on Margaret Thatcher and the Queen. But really the meat of this season seems like it's going to be the relationship between Prince Charles and a young Lady Diana Spencer as they get into the Diana year. So we're going to look forward to that. In the meantime, we've got quite a few movies that are opening this weekend. Some of them are only in theaters, like my pick of the week, which is called Freaky, that stars Chicago's own Vince Vaughn. He is a serial killer in a little small town. He is the Blissfield Butcher that is terrorizing this little small town. And he is killing high school students. He finds this sort of dorky high school misfit, kind of the target of every bully in school. And she's about to become his latest victim when he stabs her with this enchanted, mystical dagger that causes a body switch. So Catherine Newton, who is the actress who plays this 17-year-old high school student, she becomes the maniacal killer. And the really funny part, I mean, really some funny physical comedy of 6'5" Vince Vaughn now playing an awkward high school girl in this movie.
Yeah, that sounds good.
It's funny. It's funny. It's a little bit gory. It's a little bit violent. It is a horror movie. It is a slasher movie. But this whole movie has a wink of an eye to the audience. But it's just fun to watch all of these actors. I mean, clearly they all had a really fun time making this movie. It tries to get serious and emotional a couple of times, but this movie is best when it doesn't take itself seriously. I gave it a B+. This one is only in theaters right now. There is a movie that is only in select theaters for this weekend, but will be coming to Netflix the weekend of Thanksgiving, and that's the movie directed by Ron Howard called The Hillbilly Elegy. It stars Meryl Streep, Glenn Close, Amy Adams. Too bad they couldn't get any big stars to be in this movie. The adaptation of the J.D. Vance novel about a Yale law student who is drawn back into his Appalachian roots in Kentucky. His mother goes ill. He goes back to his hometown that is his family in particular, but is just riddled with addiction and poverty and melodrama, all the things that he wanted to escape and get out of, and now he's right back in the middle of it. And it's an interesting look at Appalachian culture that is, you know, normally seen through a very narrow eye. This one does give you a look at this life, but even with this A-list cast, they sort of play it so over the top. They become real caricatures of what they think this life is, and that kind of flattened the whole thing out for me. It's well-intentioned. It's got the potential of being super interesting. The original book was much more political than this movie was. the novel, kind of looked at Appalachian culture and the political power that they have that enabled Donald Trump to win the election in 2016. Ron Howard took most of the politics out of this. Hmm. He really just wanted to kind of focus on this life, this culture. And so to me, the whole thing was a little bit on the flat side. In theaters, select theaters right now, on Netflix, on November the 13th, I gave it a Dean's List C.
Well, he's always producing good stuff. So
yeah, Ron Howard,
check that out.
Delivers quality. It's it's definitely worth seeing. And it's getting Oscar buzz because of all the A-listers that are in it.
I got to get a break in here before the 8:30 news.
Okay, just real quick, let me tell you this. Peter Pan, Alice in Wonderland prequel, Come Away, is great. Highly recommending that one as well.
Got to make room for Marcus Leshock, your colleague, because we're going to talk to him before 9 this morning.
Oh, very, very nice.
He's eating up your time. Blame him. And we'll talk to you Monday. Thanks, Dean.
See you guys.
Have a good weekend.